Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Tuesday night, and that means it's time for the Dog Pound with two-time IBF Junior Middleweight Champion, Mr. Cornell Bundridge, and myself, of course, James Kane, can be found on Facebook or Twitter. On Twitter, you can find me under the Sports Crib or West Coast Steeler Fan. We have an interesting program tonight. I'm going to call on John Scully, see if he can tell us a little bit more about what happened to his fighter and the reason why their fight is off. Also going to talk with the champ, the heavyweight champ, Mr. Layman Brewster. We're going to talk to him tonight and see what's happening not only in the heavyweight division, but what's going on with amateur sports in Indiana and how his project with Buster Douglas is coming along. So it's going to be a very interesting night. We'll see what decides to drop in here at the Dog Pound. Looking down the line, I don't see the champ here yet. So let's see if we can move over and grab Scully. Scully's been traveling a little bit around, and now that the Benavidez fight is off, as I said, we had talked to Vince, Rock Hudson, the other day, and we know that there's going to be some action in Chicago with Benitez and also Gerald McCullum's sister. So we're kind of interested to see if Scully and Vince get together and maybe there's going to be a reunion up in Chicago. In the other news, of course, we all know that Scully's the historian here, so there might be some other news that we're all looking forward to. So I see the champ is here. What's going on tonight, champ?
Hey, what's up, though, JK? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. How are you doing?
Man, I am doing good, man. God is good. Yeah, how you doing? You good?
Yeah, we got a scorcher out here in California. It's still a little warm. Air quality, of course, is kind of shot with these fires. But, basically, the weather is still good. So, that's, I guess you could say that's the good side. You don't have to worry about, being cold bad air quality too. So, it is what it is.
Hey, that's what it's all about, man.
In the words of the president, it is what it is.
Right. Hey, if it ain't got cold, man, in Detroit, boy, I know y'all probably still feeling good.
Yeah, yeah, we are feeling pretty good out here. But Scully's over. He's up there in your territory. Scully, how's the weather up there?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all, actually. Kind of, it was raining a little bit, but it's not cold, that's for sure. I was out with a T-shirt today.
Oh, yeah. When you say T-shirt, like, what's the weather? What's the weather at where you at? And where are you at?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, New York. Kind of like New York, right?
Right, yeah. We're right next door.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. New York, yeah. New York get like Detroit. It get cold.
Yeah. In the winter, yeah. We get bad, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what was the weather, though? Like, what was the degrees?
I don't even know the degrees, but like I say, I was out with a T-shirt today with no problem. Like, not
oh, yeah.
I didn't need a jacket at all. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Nah, yeah. You had it. I had a T-shirt on too, and that's probably why I'm sniffing right now. So yeah, it's kind of cold in Detroit, boy. That got kind of it's 60s, probably low 60s. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know whether that's a question that's fair for us to ask you boxers. I mean, you guys are out there, you know, running with a hoodie on in 35 degrees, and, you know, if you're in Detroit, maybe 10 or 20 degrees. And Scully, I mean, you know, I'm sure during your career, you know, you've been out running in some blizzards too. So
I don't know for sure.
Oh, we should ask you boxers about, you know, what temperature it is, because you're nuts.
Yeah, you know what? A boxer trains himself to brave the elements. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a fight coming up and there's a blizzard going out, that doesn't stop your running. You go, and you run in the blizzard. And I actually, when I used to run in a blizzard, it made me feel psychologically, I felt stronger. I felt like, you know, like a Rocky training scene from a movie. You know, I'm not just running. I'm running in a blizzard, and I know a lot of guys don't. And I always take into account that a lot of guys aren't doing what I'm doing. So it kind of helped make me stronger psychologically.
Absolutely. I used to run out there in the snow on top of ice and everything. I'd be the only person out there with boots on, shirling, sweater, jackets, plastic, everything. But I knew, like you say, I knew my opponent was doing it. And just because he was able to lose weight much faster because he probably was in Florida in training camp, I still feel like I had the advantages, because if he was out here in Detroit and it was snow, he probably wouldn't even come outside. He would, ooh, it's too cold. I got to go with JK is that. I got to go to L.A.
That's right.
Freezing.
But when you're a soldier, you have that same mentality too. You know, it's like, you know,
you ever hear the story about Riddick Bowe when he first started training with Eddie Futch, and how Eddie Futch tested him? Did you ever hear that story?
No, tell us about it.
Bowe, coming out of the amateurs, had a reputation for being, you know, kind of lazy, and that was the MO on him. And they thought maybe when the going got tough, he might quit. So when he started training with Eddie Futz, they were somewhere where it was, you know, horrendous snow. I don't know where, Big Bear or somewhere. So Eddie Futz told Bo, he said, look, I got to go out of town for a few days tomorrow. I'm leaving tonight. I want you to get up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. I want you to run, you know, whatever it was, 5 miles, snow or not. I want you to run. He said, okay. And Futz didn't go. Futz waited to see if Riddick was going to run. And he got up early and waited outside the house. And 6 o'clock, here came Riddick. And that was when Futz decided he really wanted to train Riddick when he saw him do that.
Oh, wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Like mom is telling you that, you know, go out and don't, you know, do something, and then she sticks around to make sure that you don't, you know. I understand the concept.
Right.
What is going on with Benavidez? We know the fight's been canceled again. So I mean, is there travel to Canada now, or, you know, I mean, you know, what's going on there?
Oh, you mean Arthur Beterbiev? Yeah, he. Well, the fight in Russia got canceled. So we're looking at, I guess now December as it being rescheduled. But I'm not sure. But as of right now, I'm actually I'm not allowed to go to Canada. So if we do it, you know, the camp will have to be somewhere else. But yeah, it's kind of a tough thing. We can't go to Canada. I actually started training Yves Ulysses, if you know him. He beat Cletus Eldon on HBO a couple of years ago, and he has a fight in Montreal in October. But as of right now, the ban with us not going to Canada is still in effect, so I might not be able to go to the fight.
Now, that ban's been on for quite some time now, hasn't it? Since what, about March?
Well, they keep pushing it back. They were supposed to lift it in August, and then they changed it to September. Then they were going to lift it in September, and now they've changed it to August. So, I mean, to October. And so if they do it again and put it into November, then I'm going to be out of luck. And when he went, it's really crazy, when Ulysses went back to Canada a couple of weeks ago, he has to quarantine himself for 14 days, and they literally come and check on you. They come and surprise you to see if you're out. And if you're out, it's some out. You could look it up, Google it. I forget the exact figure, but it was astronomical, like something like $20,000, like that they fine you in Canada if you break the thing. If you go when you're not supposed to, I don't know if it's 20,000 or something similar to that, like a high number. So he's been in the house, you know, religiously for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know that immigration, you know, going over to Canada, there has been some problems. So was there an injury to his hand, or what was
it? He got an injury. He was doing some kind of, apparently, he was doing some kind of training. You know, they do a lot of different stuff over there in Russia. He was working with his old Russian coach when he was an amateur. And so they were doing some old school stuff, and he hurt his rib doing something. I don't know exactly what he was doing, but whatever it was, he hurt his rib.
Okay.
Wow. Let me say something real quick about that. That's one thing that people don't, like, fighters don't get credit for. Fighters go into a lot of fights injured, hurt. I mean, there's always something wrong with a fighter. And do we complain? Man. No. We just go out there and do the job. I mean, but when you want to know the truth, you know, at the end of a fight, whether the person won or lost, they're going to tell you, man, listen, I can't
yeah.
count. I got cut. You know,
You know, what? When I was getting ready to turn pro, I remember Mark Breland saying, 99% of the fights he had, he went in with some kind of injury, some kind of difficulty, some kind of, you know, whatever. And I remember thinking, you know, not really. And I grew up thinking fighters, you know, they go to training camp and they go into the fight, great condition, everything's right. And man, you wouldn't believe, well, you would, but I mean, people wouldn't believe the stuff that comes up. I mean, I went to Germany to fight. We sparred on a Saturday morning and the flight left Saturday night. And then we left to Germany. I got cut on my forehead that last sparring before I went to Germany. And so I wore a bandana over on the plane and I figured I'll just wear it until the fight and hopefully everything's good. As soon as I got off the plane, the guy who picked us up, he goes, oh, so you got a cut on your forehead, huh? And he saw the bandage underneath it, you know? So it's just like, just crazy how almost every fight I had, and I'm sure you'd have the same situation, like something, whether it's little or big, something went wrong. Very rarely does a fighter go into a fight, everything is perfect. That's like a fantasy.
That's right. Hey, yeah, Rocky movie is really real then.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. I done been in so many fights, man. And, man, I wish I would have said something, though. Now, some of the fights I had, I wish I'd have, you know, postponed the fight, but
right.
The money is too
man.
Good. You know, if the money too good, you like, man, I'll take my chances. You know what I'm saying? You'd be worried.
Well, you know what? You know what? With me, it was the money, but it was also like a fighter is always trying to rationalize, I could do it. I could do it, you know, no matter what. I could do this, even though my finger's broke. You know, I could do it.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
that's why you need a friend. You need someone who doesn't have a financial interest to pull you aside and go, are you stupid? Like, what's wrong with you? Are you stupid? You can't fight with that. You know, but I never really had that. So I convinced myself, oh, it's going to be fine. When realistically, I knew there's no way this could be fine. You know, but fighters are a special breed of people, man. They will go through the 99% of the fighters in the world through with it. If you leave it up to them, they're going through with it 100%, no matter what happens.
You absolutely right. Trust me, you're absolutely right. That's why you need good people, you know, like yourself who have experience. God, you know, rest his soul. Emmanuel Stewart, who had experience, can tell you, okay, that's enough sparring today. Or that's enough sparring for the week. Because
right now
you're going to these fights overtrained and too many shots to the head. So a lot of times, like when these fighters be getting hurt or end up, you know, not, you know what I'm saying, here no more, getting cute in the ring, it's come accumulation of punches from going into the ring and in sparring sessions.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, well, you know what? It's funny you say that because when I was boxing, I always like I would, anything that happened to me in sparring, it didn't like, I just took it as an indication that I had to go through it. Like I used to think of Marvin Hagler and I say, well, Hagler would go through this, you know, a cut or whatever it is. And I never had anybody to slow me down. So I just did what I wanted. And I believed in that ideology. And I trained Ray Oliveira. And Ray, I trained Ray for one fight, you know, and Ray's a warrior to the core, you know, and one fight he was fighting, he was getting ready to fight, I think he was fighting Ricky Hatton, and at the very end of his career, he was in so much pain. He had a back issue, like he couldn't even bend over, he couldn't run.
Yeah.
Then he had a shoulder issue where his shoulder would come out while he's sparring. So I didn't know this till it happened, and so it comes out, I guess, during the sparring. This kid is screaming to not in pain, not to stop himself, but he was screaming to try to will himself through the sparring. And so the round ends, and I'm like, Ray, man, come on, man, this is crazy. What are you doing? And he's like, well, you know how this, man, we got to fight through it. I go, yeah, Ray, but you know what? I'm on the other side now. Like, I can't let you fight through this. Like, I go, you're going to be permanently injured just for your pride. You know, it's foolish. Like, I understand you 100%, and if I was a fighter, I would do exactly what you're doing. But as a trainer, we got to stop. This sparring is over. And, you know, so I have a different view as a trainer. So I understand the fighter, but I understand that sometimes a fighter needs the trainer to stop him.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Because, we get used to the pain. You get hit with a hard shot, and somebody in the gym be like, oh, and you be like, man, what? You trying to get that shot back. Bam.
Right.
You get hit with a hard shot.
Hey, that's what it's all about. As a fighter, all it is trying to get that. I remember, I'm a little crazy, I guess, but I remember sparring. I was an amateur, 17, and I sparred with this pro in Hartford named Muhammad Shabazz. And Muhammad was kind of like my idol at the time, but I would try to beat him in sparring, and he would hurt me. And I remember one time he hurt me bad to the body, and I went home, and I skipped school the next day. And I slept late, and then I ate a good breakfast, and I ate a good lunch, and I rested. I rested like a real fight, and I went back to the gym intent. You know, I'm 17. He's a pro. He's getting ready for a fight. But I skipped school, and I went back to sparring just intent on – getting my payback because he hurt me to the, and he probably didn't even know he hurt me to the body the day before. He didn't even know what was going on, but I was like going to war, you know? And so I skipped school and everything. And, you know, you're not supposed to skip school, but I like that mentality. And I like when I see a fighter with the same mentality I had. I like that kind of stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like I say, it's good for you. And you know, one thing too, that I think is real bad, is these little amateurs, man. These little amateurs are boxing at young ages, and their parents, whoever is their trainer, is not giving them no rest. I mean, they fight all year round like they grown men, like they get paid for it. They don't have no childhood, and then they messing their joints up, and they starting to look old. Like, I know a kid now, man, he just turned 12 or 13 years old. He look like he's 17, 18 years old. With too much pressure on him and not enough rest and not enough time for himself and to be a kid.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
So his father could be, I think, is living through him. You know what I mean? And that's
right.
Just not good.
Yeah, that's right. When I work with kids, young the kids that age, until they get to be a certain age, like we go to the tournament, we try to win, you know, we try to do everything right, but I make sure they have fun. I make sure they have memories. I make sure they make friends with a bunch of people from all over the country, you know. And then when they get older, because you want to weed, you know, you'll weed them out. Some aren't cut out for it. Some are. And then when they get older, then we not take it more seriously, but we treat it more seriously. But, you know, my main thing with kids, because the majority of kids, you know, the majority of kids aren't even going to box in the open class. They're certainly not going to turn pro. So I just want them to have memories of it. Because I give an example, and just to touch on what you're talking about. There was a kid, we were in the Ohio State Fair, and his father, this kid was like, he was 15 years old, a good J.O., but his father was like a maniac. Like he wanted this kid to succeed through him. You know, he wanted to succeed through his son. So we're trying to hang out with the kids. You know, all my kids are going to the movies. We're hanging out. And so the last, you know, we try to get him to hang out and the father says no, you know, he's got to rest for the fight. I said, okay, I can respect that. So he wins the Ohio State Fair. He wins the tournament. The fight is over. They're leaving. We're going home tomorrow. So I tell him, all right, guess what, man? We're going to the movies. And the kid was so excited. And he goes, well, did you ask my dad? And I go, well, nah, but I mean, the tournament's over. Like, he goes, nah, you better ask my dad. And I asked his father, and his father said no. Like, I said, man, but the tournament's over. He won. He goes, listen, we take this seriously. He's going home tomorrow. He's going to be right back in the gym Monday. He's going to be in the gym when we get home. I said, man, and guess what? The kid had one pro fight. Never fought again. I've never seen him. It's been 20 years. I've never seen or heard from this kid again, not one time. And I knew it. I said he's going to grow up, and he's either going to be a disciple of his father, and he's going to be a madman, or he's going to hate his father, and he's never going to box again. And I don't know if he hates his father, but I know he never boxed again because, you know, just too much pressure on a kid. 15 years old, you're treating him like he's fighting for $10 million, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. That's probably why I started my son off a little later. I taught him how to box and trained him at the age of 5 years old, but he ain't start competing until he turned 13.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you know, because if he wants to do it, he'll stay with it, and he'll understand
Absolutely.
What it takes. And, you know, Roy Jones' father, I used to be down in the gym with Roy, right? This guy, Roy, took it to another level. Roy would have you in the gym. He would start guys out in the gym, and even adults, not just little kids, but adults. Uh-huh. He wouldn't let them spar for, like, a year. And I'm like, man, like, why? And then I asked him one time. He said, well, I don't really see the point. He had a Southern way of doing things, you know what I mean, that down-home ideology. And he's like, I don't see the point of letting somebody practice doing something wrong. These guys don't know how to box. I'm teaching them this box. You know, I'm going to teach them piece by piece by piece, day by day by day. We're going to drill it some more. And then when they know how to throw punches properly and they know balance, I'm going to have them spar. But I'm not going to have them spar when they're falling all over themselves. They can't even throw a proper punch. And, you know, I mean, people criticize probably his way of thinking, and I don't want to wait a year to spar, but, I mean, he did train and begin boxing. He had four world champions come out of his ideology, Roy, Smoke Gaynor, Arthur Williams, and Vince Phillips. So it is what it is. His ideology worked for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's different strokes for different folks.
Yes, sir.
K9 Emmanuel wasn't for everybody. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, and he wasn't everybody's cup of tea. You know, it's
you know,
but,
and you know, I'm glad you brought Emmanuel Stewart's name up. One thing about Emmanuel Stewart is that if he didn't feel like that you was going to win, he wouldn't even come up in your corner. He wouldn't even show up. And then if you watch some of the fights, that you know a person would lose. You know, you wouldn't even see Emmanuel at all. But if you won, he was right there. So he was really good. He was a real good businessman. But if you ain't have a chance to win, he probably wouldn't even train you. But if he knew that he can help you out and you can win, he'd be right there. Now, I asked Emmanuel one time when he was in the gym or whatever. I was like, man, you know these guys, man, you know they be going to war. And he said, yeah, they go to war when I'm not here, because a lot of the fighters at Crump, some of them ended up punch drunk, and it was because when he wasn't there, they used to go to war, man. I'm talking about that gym war stuff that they call out the dog house that they met. Floyd Mayweather gym? No, the dog house is at Crunk's. Man, I'm talking about some of the best sparring sessions you would ever see. They were better than actual regular fights.
Right. You know what? Milt McCrory told me even the world champions, him, Tommy, he said they had to fight for their lives in the Crunk's gym against guys you never even heard of. He said everybody was trying to kill everybody. When they would spar, he said everybody would get around the ring and they'd be banging on the ring like it was, you know, like they were in the Roman Coliseum or something. And, you know, and he loved it. Like, Milton loved it. Like, he loves talking about it. And, you know, back in the days with Bernard Mays and those guys, what he said to me, he said, it didn't matter if you were champion of the world or a four-round guy. He said, if you weren't ready to spar that day, don't come. Don't even come to the gym.
Yeah. That's right. They tell you in a minute, we taking all the bags down. Everybody's sparring. Everybody. I had my run. I definitely had my run as one of the kings in Crump Gym. I came around in the early 90s. Like, that's when I started kind of doing my thing and, you know, being the man at Crump's. At 1995, 1996, that's when all the killers were gone. You know what I'm saying? They had passed the torch, but they weren't boxing no more. But that's when I had my little thing going, you know?
Well,
and
let me ask you one question. You'll know. Everyone I know at Crunk, everyone, like, they say the best gym fighter they saw was Marlon Thomas.
Hey, listen. Man, listen. Marlon was a beast in that gym. Yes, he was. He was, you know, and I looked up to him, so I never wanted to blaze him or talk about him and say he was a gym fighter. You know what I mean? But that was the word on him, that he was the best gym fighter ever.
Right.
But I tell you one thing, though, for sure, nobody in that gym could mess with Tommy, Marlon. They used to call him Little Tommy Hearns. I remember he went down to the Oscar De La Hoya's camp.
I heard that story. Yeah,
he beat the brakes off Oscar De La Hoya when Oscar De La Hoya was Oscar De La Hoya, not coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
right. They sent him back home.
I heard the same story. Tyrek told me that. Milt McCrory told me that. And somebody else there was talking. And they all said the same. Like, their stories matched up identical. They said Marlon Thomas was the best gym fighter. He said Tommy Hearns was the king of Crunk, but Marlon was the king of the gym. You know, like,
it's just different.
He was a beast. I definitely heard his stories for sure.
I remember when I first was going down there and I was getting interested in boxing, and I used to be seeing a kid down there my age whooping all these grown men. I used to be like, man, who was this guy? I followed him like a tail. It was Marlon Thomas.
Marlon Thomas, man.
Right. We actually fought on the same team before. We were both promoted by a guy named Billy Summers.
Okay.
Yeah. We talk to this day, though. We talk all the time.
Okay.
Matter of fact, my last fight that I actually had in Detroit, he helped me out a whole lot. You know, the guy I was going to fight was overweight, so he made him run to lose that weight the day of the fight. He couldn't go back and weigh in until he lost that weight. So Marlon drowned him. Marlon, man, made him run to get that pounds off, so he ain't had no legs by the time we fought. So you talk about the trick to the trade. He get all the tricks.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. For sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, gotta let you go. Do you have anything coming up? Are you still doing any reunions? I know there was supposed to be something for Wilfred it was Marlon's sister, right? Is doing something in Chicago?
Well, yeah, and I hope K-9 can make it, because I know Milton's coming and Tarek is coming. We're doing I have a lot of stuff coming up, but it's in November. It's like November 12th, whatever that weekend is. I think it's the 12th or the 9th.
Okay.
It's in Freeport, Illinois. They're doing a dinner for fighters in need, you know, specifically Gerald. And so they're raising money for him. And we got right now we have Michael Nunn coming. We got Michael Spinks. I've got Darren Allen coming, who I haven't seen in 25 years. Joe Lipsy, I think, is going to come. All the guys are coming. Milton McCrory's coming. We're getting all these guys to come. We're going to hang out. And then they're going to do a comedy show after. And I forget the guy's name, but you would know him. He's like he used to be on Def Comedy Jam. He's a popular comedian. I forget his name, but he's coming. And then Montel Griffin is going to do some comedy too, as one of the opening acts for comedy. I'll get you guys the date. I'll send it to you on Facebook, and I'll send you the flyer.
Are you making a flyer?
I've got one. I'll send it to you.
No, you got to add me on. You got to do another flyer. I'm coming too.
All right, I'll tell because Lisa makes them, so I'll tell Gerald's sister Lisa, and we'll hook it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Give Lisa my number because Lisa is cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Layman, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Layman, what's up?
I was just. You said that was in Illinois.
I think Layman. I told Layman about it. I think he's coming too. It's the thing in November for Gerald McClellan in Freeport, Illinois.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna try to make that. Mhm.
Yeah, because I think matter of fact, Kenny Gould. If you remember Kenny Gould, I'm getting Kenny to come also, and Kendall Gould, who's his cousin, he's coming. So it's gonna. By the time we get everybody, it's gonna be a really, really nice turnout. It's gonna turn into a reunion automatically. So it's gonna be good. It's gonna be really good.
Oh yeah, good. Oh yeah. Definitely tell her. Yeah, I definitely come because we just had somebody that was on a show. JK, who was that was on a show that said they were inviting us to the that get together. It was a young man we had on the show.
But Scully, you want to give us your last thoughts, man, and thank you so much for coming on a Tuesday evening, man.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, I'm hoping we can, between all of us, we can spread the word because, you know, it'll help Gerald, but also, you know, Michael Nunn, all these guys are going to be there. It's going to be great for everybody to see each other and reminisce. And like I said, I haven't seen Darren Allen and I fought in the Olympic trials in 1988. And I haven't seen him since. So, you know, it's going to be that kind of event. So what I'm going to do is I'll tag all you guys in the poster. As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go to Facebook. I'll tag you in it, and you'll have all the information.
Right. Yeah, good. Definitely get with me because I'm going to see if I can get some more people that, you know, former champions like Jimmy Paul to try to come out. Just let me know.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's already coming. I'm pretty sure he's coming. Yeah, all those guys. I think Homer Kenty's coming, the Kronk guys.
Reach out
to whoever you can.
Yeah, Tom Boom Boom Johnson, that's what I'm saying. It's other people, man, you know, from here that, you know. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I'm gonna get off right now, and I'll send you the guys the information.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks. Scully in the house.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good show.
Dog.
All right, guys. Good show.
Yeah. For real. Appreciate you. Yeah. Knowledge. Now, what my man's on, Bruce? Hey, what's up, though?
Good with you, fam.
You good?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to figure out a name. You know, I don't know if you remember that movie called Belly, and they was like, "Man, who sent you?" And I'm gonna give you the name Knowledge.
That's what's up. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up with you? I've been watching your post, man. Thank you, brother. Man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. I just want to educate.
Yeah, absolutely. You gonna be there? You coming to that dinner that they doing there?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make it up, man. He said it's in Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I like to make that, man. It'd be real good to come out, man, just to show some support, man, because, you know, we're a family, man, and boxing is a thing that has brought us all together, man. And, we, you know,
yeah.
I've met some beautiful people, man, through boxing, and it'd just be great
yeah.
to just, you know, just for us, especially in a time like this, man, for us just to be able to come together and just show some love.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. You're right. What you been up to?
Shoot, man. You know, man, I just been working on my program, man, that I want to introduce to the world, man, with all the support of the fighters and everything to help us to help the world, man. And so I've really been putting a lot of heart and effort into it, man, because it's something that I feel like is a platform for us as fighters to be able to reach the world, man, outside of, yeah, we was great fighters, but you know, in order to be a champion, you got to be a real champion. It should extend outside of what you do in the ring. That's why we say, yeah, Floyd's the greatest of all times in the ring. You know what I mean? But Muhammad Ali
yeah.
was the greatest of all times, just in as a fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's still for himself.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. That's good. Yep. And
what you been up to?
I just been, you know, getting myself together, getting my mind right. I've been kind of going live on YouTube. And I've been going live, you know, trying to get together, trying to interact with the people more, the fans and everything. So, but I'm getting ready for my fight. I got a fight coming up November 7th.
Oh, wow. For real?
Yeah.
Man,
absolutely, yeah.
Are you serious?
What?
Wait,
yeah.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be in Florida. Yeah.
Nice.
The part,
who's the part of Florida?
Just a guy, he's just an opponent. He ain't no killer, none of that. I was just getting an opponent.
Yeah, you know. Gotta sharpen your canine.
Absolutely. I gotta sharpen my teeth, which is my hands. Exactly.
Hello. Exactly. Yeah, man.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. How's training going?
Oh, training's going good. I'm really kinda helping other people out. I help other people out, helping myself out, but at the same time, I go and get my own little work in. I go run. I ran like 9 miles the other day.
Got that?
Yeah. So I'm about to make sure I'm right, because you can't, you know, they love to just be able to knock me off even more. Like, let go sit down somewhere, call me Unc and everything. You know, you a former 2-time champion. Nah, bro, I'm current now.
Right.
I'm back in the game.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So man, so you see, I don't know if you or JK know, but what's my man's name? Mikey Garcia. He said that he bought the greatest fight. He said he bought the greatest fight Manny Pacquiao. That it's a done deal.
Shut up! What?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said.
I thought Pacquiao was gonna fight
Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he told. Hey, if you go to fighthype.com, you know, you can see the interview that Mikey telling Conor McGregor to go sit down somewhere. You know, it's 100% that he's about to greatly fight Manny Pacquiao.
Wow. Man, that's going to be a good fight, man. I mean, I don't know. You know, Pacquiao done went to the well a few times, man. And, you know, like I know, if a fighter go to the well too many times past his prime, you know, his age might show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
You know, I hope that whatever, it's going to be a good show, man. But, you know, just, you know, them reflexes go, man. That, and I know that, you know, just because, like, I'm training, because I'm going to be, you fighting on 7th, that's funny, but I'm going to be doing an exhibition on the 6th of November. And it's with the gentleman that is a homicide detective for the city of Indianapolis. He's a big homicide detective, like one of the top homicide detectives, and he's a brother. He's a good dude, man. And so me and him has agreed to do like a little sparring exhibition, even though it ain't gonna be nothing serious, man. I'm gonna just go out and throw some punches at him just to let him know that, you know, I'm still the champ, but at the same time, I ain't gonna beat him up. You know what I mean? I'm gonna just play around with him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's what's going on now. That's the style. Exhibitions. It's big. Exhibitions is really where it's at. You got a name, you a former champion. Oh, my goodness. An exhibition is what's happening right now. Tyson.
Man, I'm only doing it because of my nonprofit organization that I'm going to be launching on that day.
Okay. I got you.
Guys, are you planning on having a crowd? What's happening with the COVID situation?
Are you talking about my fight?
You're both fighting a day apart, November 6th.
I got you.
Right?
So, in my situation, in the fight that I'm having, I heard that they done opened it all the way up, you know, that you're going to be more people can come.
Yeah.
People came to the fight last time. It was only, I think, half the capacity could be there. But now I think it's over 70% that could be there now. It's close to it. It could be sold out now.
No, I think you're in Florida, and in Florida, yeah, you're right. Everything is wide open. The governor said, you know, come on down. He's even planning.
You're the next contestant.
But Florida has also experienced some of the most cases of COVID. Lane, what's your situation? You're in Indiana. Have things changed up there? I think you guys got hit as a hot spot after the biker rally.
Well, man, listen, that was in up there in Montana, wherever. But you talking about that Sturgis thing? Yeah, I'm in the Midwest. But the point I'm trying to make is just that my fight is going to be, we're going to invite people. And we're gonna use the precautions, you know, keep people distance from each other, whatnot, make sure everybody's wearing a mask, you know, because it's a fundraiser and we don't want people to have that much fun. But the point is, we want to be conscious about this pandemic. You know what I mean? I think it's very important that we take all the steps that's necessary because this is a real thing and it's killing people.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. Hey, boy, hey, I know I was at a gym today because, you know, I do a little personal training at the gyms, and the gyms are starting to get crowded now, man. I'm talking about, you know, even though, you know, what's going on, you know, people are just starting to get more comfortable and actually they're not wearing a mask or none of that now.
And I'm going to tell you out of love, man. Check this out, man. When it gets cold,
yeah,
and so the reason why are just why, if you notice, like when they was first saying COVID hit America,
yeah,
it was cold, and black people was getting it the most because we wouldn't really get in that sun, and so I've been telling people to take D3 because D3 is an essential trace mineral that the body collects from the sun. And so when it gets cold and people are not able to get that sun, man, I believe it's going to be worse, maybe two or three times worse than when it first came to America and everybody was scared. I think, and everybody's out, like you're saying, how where you're fighting, they're not even going to have take the precautions and let people get close like that, man. I just believe it's insanity, man, personally.
Yeah. You know what? I know, like, with the part of Florida that I'm going to be fighting at, though, was a small part of Florida. But they still is, like, reckless, you know what I mean? But it's not like Miami. I heard at the beach, I heard they really, like, out there. Like, where we at, they still taking precautions where, you know, I saw when I was commentating at the fight, the last one in Florida, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of together. You know, people had their mask on. They kept their little distance. They were pretty strict.
Well,
yeah, that's what's up, man.
Florida is like you said, it's wide open, but it's kind of like California in the sense that masks aren't mandatory, but, you know, if you want to wear one, you can wear one. So hopefully we also have had college football has opened, the season's opened. We've had football players come down with COVID. So with sports, you got to be very careful. Yesterday, the Tennessee Titans played the Miami Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings. And this morning, they had two Titans players and six personnel, I think, test positive COVID. So they don't know, what they're going to do with the Minnesota Vikings. But, you know, they're supposed to play the Steelers Sunday, so that's how I know about the Titans. So, are the Steelers going to go down there to play? You know, I mean, and I'm sure we've had a couple instances where we've had fighters that have had to put off fights due to this COVID. So I think it's important that, you know, people don't get too reckless. Like you say, Layman, winter time is coming, and, people are going to be more apt to gather together. That's just what you do in the winter time. You know, you don't have beaches to go to. People, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, be careful. We want all, fans, listeners, and the people that are close to us that listen to this program and come on as guests. We want to make sure, everybody's safe. We want to talk to everybody in 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Because it's a lot going on. Then if Donald Trump ends up becoming the president again for four more years, oh man, people really gonna be passing out.
Layman, yeah, man. You said this exhibition was to open up Brewster's Place. Is this the formal kind of cutting of the ribbon ceremony?
Yeah, man, you could definitely say that, man. Just for the simple fact that this is, something I'm going to be announcing. So, yeah, that sounds about right. Wow, I hadn't even thought about it. But, yeah, that's on the money.
And just to give our listeners, if they haven't heard before, this is K9's show, so we're going to just interrupt a little bit. Tell them a little bit about Rooster's Place.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking. So I wanted to figure out a way that I could help former world champions, starting with former world champions, not exclusively to world champions, but I wanted to start with world champions because I felt like that's the quickest way to get people's attention. And these champions can pick up the phone and do all kind of interviews with boxing reporters, which would help get the interest of the boxing community, because what Brewster's Place is the it's like a boys club of America and a girls club of America, if you will. Why do I say that? Because Brewster's Place is a family of boxing. It's the family of boxing, because every time we go to a gym, everybody in there is your family. And if you have a problem, everybody in there got a problem with you, with whatever you got a problem with. So what I wanted to do was try to figure a way to bring all the boxing community under one umbrella because of the things that I will be able to offer through Brewster's Place, which is helping people to get jobs and helping people even to the extent where down the road financially we'll be able to help people. But it's using these champions as mentors
mentors that have a responsibility to be the champ, which is a role model, because that comes with the territory. So I wanted to find a way to help the champs, but at the same time to help our communities, man, you know, not based on color, but just based on we all in a struggle together. That's why, like, my hashtag is We All We Got. So, yeah, man, November 6th will be the unleashing of what Brewster's Place is, starting with me. Everything that I'm going to do as a former heavyweight champion of the world, but just world champion, regardless of what weight, I'm going to go through this course of training people, having the juvenile systems, the jails, send kids to me and young adults, man, and we're going to teach them life through boxing, because life is a fight. And who better to teach about fighting in life than a champion boxer, whether he's been, you know, for the simple fact that most champions have started at the bottom and they've been to the top and they made a lot of mistakes to get there. So who better to tell people trying to get to the top in life, which is the fight they're trying to win, than a world champion? And so I'm going to start with world champions, and then I'm going to go to my goal is to go to other champions and then other fighters that are just good role models in their neighborhoods, man, because at the end of the day, we all we got. And I always tell people money is just a byproduct of success. Money don't just appear nor disappear. You know, it's always based upon the person that was successful, what it is that he's trying to do in life that creates the money. So what I'm trying to do is, through Brewster's Place, teach people what life really is all about, man, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you turn off the lights and we can't see nobody and we can't see nothing, the only thing that we can hear will be each other. So I'm just trying to teach love from that standpoint, where we don't judge nobody by the way they look or the way they talk, but just by the way they make you feel about yourself, you know? And so that's what Brewster's Place is about, man. And so November 6th, I guess you'll see the fireworks.
Yeah. Wow. There's so many fights going on November 6th, your fight, my fight November 7th. I think November 12th, Scully was just talking about that get-together we're going to have. Oh, man, it's a lot. Is it going to be the election and all that in November, too? It's just a lot going on in November.
Yeah, man. You're right. It is a lot going on. It is.
My daughter's birthday the same day I fight, too. So, wow, it's a lot.
Oh, beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, she'll be getting a good happy birthday gift, man.
Yes. I'm going to miss her, though, because she's not going to be able to be at the fight, so I would love to be there. You know, I would love to be at my home with her, you know what I mean? It's going to be her first birthday I actually miss.
Hey, man, you know what? That's the thing about being a king. A king got to do the things that the less people would do, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like, the king is willing to make that sacrifice so that he can, you know what I mean, take care of his kingdom.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Sure, yeah, definitely.
Layman, you had posted, I know it's been a little while, you had posted your son graduated. Now that with this COVID out and everything, how is your relationship young man just graduated, fatherly advice, how did those things go? A lot of young men don't have that opportunity that your son has. Can you kind of take us through that? I know it's a little personal, but it's the life
man,
of the fight.
It's good. You know, man, what I did when my son graduated was just try to have that talk to the extent that I was his father, but to tell him what the world is about and what he can expect. And you know, because it's very important as you know, that men tell their children the truth, the truth that they understand, the truth that they live. So I don't want my son and nobody going through this world deceived, man. I mean, I talked to my son about trying to think. Okay, so for me, you know, I always have these theories about for every action, there's a reaction. And, you know, just trying to tell my son, look, I know you're not me. I'm not expecting you to be me. I just want you to be the best you that you can be, you know, because at the end of the day, man, when we lay down, we got to lay down with ourselves. And when we get up, we got to get up with ourselves. And everything we do with ourselves. So, you know, I always want my son, as I told him, to be able to be happy with who he is, not based upon anybody else. You know what I mean? So having those kind of conversations with my son was so important. And I'll tell you why, because I didn't get that conversation. You know what I mean? It was like my father was a great man to me. He didn't necessarily teach me all the things that a young man needs to know going into the world, you know, because the love of a father, the love of a parent will try to always protect that child. So in protecting that child, sometimes you don't tell them what life is really about. You know what I mean? Like my father, he taught me about life, but there were things that as a young man, I just felt like I should have been taught, you know, because I had to grow up and learn these things sometimes the hard way, you know what I mean? So for me, man, like with my son, it was like saying to him, like, be the best you that you can be, man, whatever that is, you know what I mean? But understand, as a man, the one thing about a man versus a woman, a man is always expected to produce, period. No woman wants to be with a man that cannot build, whatever your building skill is, you know what I mean? And so I just try to help my son to understand them things. So that's the conversation that I really more or less kind of had with him and try to break down to get him to just think on those things. Not that I expect him to understand them, but at least as he go through life, he'll start to understand more and more and more of the things that, you know, I said to him. So that's all, man. I try to plant a seed and hoping that seed will take him in the right direction, whatever direction that is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. A lot of these little young brothers are missing dads big time. When you can see your identity, man, that's more than money in the bank.
And that's what Bruce's Place is about. Because what I want to do is for every champion in his community to be able to reach out to these kids in the way that we know how the OGs reached out to us and what they said. I mean, they ain't here now. So, you know, we want to be able to reach out to them, not according to the King's English and not according to what the world say is good standard living, but to what we know life to be according to our upbringings. And that's the thing we don't have. We don't have the OGs around the neighborhoods no more that really spit game to these young kids that's really just looking for somebody to help point them in the right direction. But at the same time, they don't want somebody that's coming to them like looking like they can, like they're going to judge them. They want somebody that they can identify with, man. I remember when we was growing up, like the wino in the neighborhood, that was the bad thing. And the thing is, the wino in the neighborhood was doggone near smarter than everybody around, always, man. He just had so much knowledge if you ever had a chance to really just sit with him. But the point is, man, like the Bible say, the blind can't lead the blind unless they both fall in a ditch. So my goal is to be able to implement people in these positions, man, where people can get led, man, get some guidance, you feel me? And that's what these kids need, man. They just need some guidance. But it can't be from the standard European mindset. I'm just going to keep it 100.
I hear you.
A sheep can't raise a cow, and a cow can't raise a sheep, but yet they both got 4 feet.
Well, you get that knowledge from JK. JK be spitting knowledge like that too.
Man, that's why we picking OG's brain, man.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's strange times. When you think about just in the world of boxing, how things have evolved. K9, you talked about the Canelo's big contract, now he says he's meditating on it. But do you think that in spite of how everything is going, that the Zone is still really in the driver's seat?
The Zone, when you got that money in this world, you know, you the man. So, I mean, they definitely got money. So, I think they in the driver's seat because at the end of the day, if they working with Oscar and it's Oscar the Zone against Canelo, what Canelo going to do? Fighters, I hate to say it, but it seems like we lose at the end all the time, whether it's our health, whether we get a bad contract, or whether we get a lot of our money stole. So, hopefully that they can come to an agreement on something, and everything works out because, you know, Canelo don't want to be spending his years trying to fight his way out of the contract, trying to fight his way to get his money, and can't fight, going to court. I don't think we even saw the best of Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia had to sit on the shelf because he was trying to get out of contract with Bob Arum. And even Floyd was in a bad contract with Bob Arum. So we ain't see some of the best of Floyd. We saw a lot of Floyd, but not some. We missed some of the best because of them bad contracts.
Did both of you end up seeing any of the action this weekend?
Yeah, I definitely saw a lot of it. I saw all of it. Matter of fact, I was actually hosting a boxing event over at Gold's Gym, Detroit, the last Gold's Gym that we have in the city. And, Gold's Gym is open 24/7, so I invited a lot of people. It was free to the public, so we actually had fun. And I enjoyed the fight. It's just that the fight with Jermell Charlo and Jason Rosario was just, thing. It looks suspect. Well, what do you think? Or what do you guys think? it looked crazy. You get knocked out with a jab to the stomach, and he starts shaking like he had a seizure. I mean, normally a head shot would do something like that, not a body shot.
Well, one thing I'll just add real quick, man, is the anatomy of everybody's body is not exactly the same. I have a relative who, believe it or not, his kidney is like in his stomach. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but I'm just saying we don't know all the facts because maybe he had to go real bad. Like maybe when he got hit, when his intestines like stretched, like some nerve damage. I mean, it's petty, but you know, just never know, man. But that was a really good shot he got hit with. He stepped into it and put his body into it, and if he was able to point his knuckles in the right direction, man, that penetration, not martial arts, but that penetration could have done the damage that was needed to actually stop him like that. Because I'm a puncher, but I've actually done that before. That's why I know myself. I've hit people like that in the gym with that same shot, stepping in with that left, turning that thumb down, turn that hip, turn that ankle, lean into it, man. It's so much velocity on that punch, man. So, you know, I ain't gonna say that it wasn't a punch that he could have took, but I'm gonna say it's a punch that I understand from personal experience.
Yeah, now see, I can agree when it's a heavyweight. See, if you hit one of them guys like that, or a heavyweight hit another heavyweight like that, I could possibly see that happening. But the guys in the junior middleweight divisions ain't hitting like no heavyweight. Anybody can say, you know, you can look at a guy. I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest punches pound for pound to ever get in the ring was Julian Jackson. But pound for pound, he's not going to be able to hit harder than you, a heavyweight. When you got 200-some pound,
pounds coming behind a punch is going to equal up to more pound pressure than someone that's weighing 100-some pounds. And so So that's what I'm saying. So you, I can see if you look, if you hit, especially if you hit Rosario, you hit Jermell Charlo, any of the Charlos as a heavyweight with a jab to the stomach. Oh my goodness, he gonna fart.
Well, yeah, but see, and you're right. You're 100% right about that, and I have no defense against that. I was just adding that if you. Like, I used to study Bruce Lee a lot, man, a whole lot. I contribute him a lot to my whole entire career from childhood. But the point is this, watching Bruce Lee and taking, like, martial arts, there are certain ways you can actually explode with your body, man, and it can give such a penetrating force that if you was to do that in the case that he did, and it was just the perfect angle, his knuckles was lined up right, and he hit the right organs, and he got the penetration through the punch, it could actually do that. So that's the only thing I want to add and say, that punch was a very possible punch. Not to say that maybe he wanted to lay down. I don't even know, you know, but the point is that he got hit with a punch that I could actually believe could stop a man like that.
Yeah, so, you know, so what? I just want to say this real quick, JK. One thing I did notice, because, like I say, I just, you know, I mean, I could see a person get hit with a jab to the stomach. Or no, a right hand to the stomach, and that possibly he'd be out of there, like, hurt, but it was a jab. Now, what I did notice, because I said we got to watch and see somebody get the research and what happened, because it had to be something that happened for that to happen. And what happened is, he was in his corner, and he was actually – he kind of nodded out. Right, the round before that happened, he nodded out a little bit. So that was what it was.
Wow.
Yeah, did you see that? I saw that. I got to tell my wife about that. Yeah. Yeah,
that
he nodded
deep.
Out. He nodded.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it was some punches or was something in his DNA that kind of like, you know, that triggered that nod off. He nodded off. And next you know, the bell went ding, 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 and he got caught that shot. So it was what happened the round before that or whatever he ain't eating or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that he have eaten or just all them punches that added up. It wasn't just no one punch that did that. He was already in the midst of something happening to him at that point in time. And when he wasn't able to lock up and know the shot was coming, it just triggered off what was going on in the corner.
That's why we call you the canine. Your nose... It's so good, dog. That was such a great breakdown and observation, man. Mad respect for you, man. Yeah, that's what's up, man. I appreciate that, dude. That is deep.
Yeah,
you got a
good eye. I appreciate you. Thanks for that. Yeah, I try to be like you, big bro. I try to keep it, you know, 100 and stay positive and, you know what I'm talking about and talk about what I'm knowing.
Man, you need to go and open up your own office, Sherlock Holmes, the second canine version.
You guys think about the Davinchenko fight. I didn't think it was as lopsided as the judges. What's your thoughts? I thought Davinchenko gave him a good run for his money. But once again, I thought it was... It was kind of like the old school style, you know, you have to beat your champ. We don't see a lot of those, you know, where you know, a lot of these, the champ just simply has to show up. I think there's a little inconsistency in that. But other than that, I thought it was a good close fight. What did you think about Devonchenko's performance, K-9?
Oh, man, you know, I felt that, you know, he had a good chance, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people talk that talk, man. That's why, you know, one of my slogans on my shirts is don't bark if you can't bite. I mean, because a lot of times it's easy to believe in a hype. The guy told me, this is the best time, best feeling in the world. This is my best training camp. I've trained harder. This is the hardest time I've trained, and I've never trained. Man, it's like, you know, sometimes you can't train no harder than the hardest you ever trained. You can't keep on saying, well, this is the hardest I ever trained. Then the next fight is the hardest I ever trained.
Like, I trained so hard for this. Like, I was in the best shape of my life. You only could get in as much best shape as you can. So in the fight with Derevchenko, I believe that a lot of him was took out of him with the fight with Triple G. I think that, you know, even though, you know, a lot of people think that he won, he just took so much punishment going into that fight. And it just looked like, even though he fought him a year ago, I think that he already knew he was going to fight for the belt again. And that you know, he got right back in the gym and he wasn't prepared. He wasn't properly rested. And I just think that all them amateur fights just contributed to what happened to him. It's like he was doing good, but it seemed like he just did enough just to compete, and that was it. It's like he got comfortable with, let me just make this a good close fight, and the fans can say, you know, hey, maybe he won, or I want to see a rematch. Just like when I won my first world title and my second world title, you got to take it from the champ. And it's like he never really tried to take it from the champ. He just showed up to just compete.
What'd you think, Lane?
Well, man, that's very deep, and I'm interested because I didn't watch that fight. I didn't even watch it. I'm very interested in just hearing, like, the details. And again, you know, I love the way you break stuff down, K-9. So, you know, that's interesting, man. So wow. How did the fight go?
Yeah. Listen, this what happened. At the beginning of the fight, you know, he was doing pretty good. Like he was kind of coasting, but then Jamal, you know, you could just see that he was one punch away because he was so much bigger than a young man, and he just looked like he was just a fresher man. He was fresher. You know, Jamal hasn't been through a whole lot. You never saw him hurt or none of that. And like I say, he hasn't been in there and been hit like by Triple G or no one's really gave him a tough test. I mean, even in a fight that I had with him, I mean, you know, I don't want to just play the I was injured because a lot of fighters go in there injured, but I was not 100%. And at the age of 42 years old or 41 at the time, you know, I couldn't really compete at the level that I could have competed at probably after coming off a long layoff anyway. So I don't think that his body was able to take a lot in that fight. And I think that, you know, I just think that Derevchenko, he just, you know, instead of him picking it up, he did good at the beginning. Instead of him picking it up, he started fading, and Jamal Charles started picking it up. And you know, you coast, but then you gotta pick it up. You know, now these are championship rounds. You know, you're a champion. And in championship rounds, you know, you got to go hard. You got to come on, man, come here. You know what I'm saying? And he kind of fought like he was nervous, like he was a little scared, like he felt his power. You know what I mean? Because he got hurt a couple of times. You know, so I just, you know, if I can remember, JK, didn't he get knocked down? And it was a knockdown that really was a knockdown. He just got caught with a shot, and they caught a knockdown.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I just think he probably felt the power, man, and just, you know, I don't know what fighter said it, but, you know, until you get hit in the face, I think that was Mike Tyson. You talk all that, but once you get hit in the face, you know what I'm saying? Hey, that destroys everything you talk about you was going to do and say.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so he got hit in the face, man. When he finally got hit in the face, boy, instead of him picking it up, like I say, he kind of slowed it down. He kind of, you know, he faded. He faded, and Jamal Charlo started picking it up. And so that fight, I thought should have been the main event. But then my wife was right. She said, no, I want to see the Rosario Jamal Charlo fight. That fight was definitely the main event, and was a great fight. That Derevchenko fight, man, it was like, I expected more, you know, and I didn't get what I expected.
I thought the Rosario fight, I was really looking forward to the Rosario fight. I thought it was going to be much closer. Rosario,
yeah.
He had been a K-9 before in his last two fights.
Yeah.
I was really to see, you know, somebody get physical with Charlo.
Yeah.
Champ, thank you for coming on the Tuesday. Well, big
champ. Big champ. Sally, look, Sally, he always doing that to me. I'm a little champ. Why I can't be the big champ, too? That's why I didn't play basketball and try to go to the NBA, because I didn't want them to say, man, he's the little dog.
Hey, K-Dog.
I'd rather have My brother had the big champ. You know, he weighed over 200. See, I'd rather have him, you know, pacified. See, you the little champ, because I might be able to outrun you. You know, I might be able, to outmaneuver you. You know, but like you said, you know, when that 200 pounds, you know, throw that jab at 100 and, you know, 170, it ain't the same. So, yeah, that's big. So, Layman, why don't you give us your final thoughts? Go ahead, Layman.
All right, I'm going to give you my final thoughts, but I'm going to say this to you, man. You got to understand, man, I'm in the Mastiff class, you feel me? I'm a Mastiff, you know what I mean? Like, I will be a band dog or a Boer Bull or something like that, man. You know what I mean? So you a canine, you at the top of your, and as far as all the German Shepherds go, that whole field, ain't nobody better than a canine. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, we all
heard it from the champ.
Yeah, we all got different roles, man. You know what I mean? Everybody ain't a guard dog. You know what I mean? But this is the whole thing, man. We all come together. We all serve a role, man. We all brothers and sisters, man, and we just got to love each other, man. And the thing is, we got to work together, man, and stop waiting for society to work for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we builders, man. We builders. That's what we are by nature. And we just got to come together, man, and put aside our egos and our pride, man, and open our eyes, because the only way to have a net is to have hands that connected to other hands, and that's how you get a net, man. You can't get a net off of your ego just because you did this or you did that, you know, or you have this or you have that. You know, at the end of the day, man, we all got to hold hands, baby, and that's how we make that net.
Exactly.
So I want to say that. I want to leave you with that, man. My name is Relentless Layman Brewster. I'm a former heavyweight champion of the world, and yo, man, I love you, K-9. I love you, JK, man. I thank you guys for always allowing me on your show, man. I just, you know, just to be able to just come and like for me, I'm a retired fighter, and, like, I don't want to just be known as, oh, he was a good fighter. No, man, I read books. I'm educated. I try to keep up with the times, and I try to help my brothers and sisters. So, you know, I just say, if you want to follow me, you can follow me, Layman Brewster, LamonBrewster. That's Facebook, Instagram. But I just keep it real, man. And again, we all we got, man. Thank you again for letting me come on the show, fellas. I'm out.
Champ. Champ talk. That's right. One love, champ. Yeah, yeah. Layman Brewster. Knowledge. Yeah.
You know, I was going to come on and tease you this week, but I guess in a way I'm going to do it anyway.
Go ahead. Huh?
History was made yesterday.
Oh.
Did you know that?
Whoa. Tell me what history.
The Detroit Lions broke an 11-game losing streak. They actually won a football
game. Oh, my goodness. That, man, why did you hit me in the head with a loaf of bread? Why? Man, listen. Listen, let me tell you something. The Lions, this is the first year that the Lions game will come on. Do you know, and God forgive me, I used to miss church to watch the Detroit Lions lose. Because they come on. Man, and so I gave up, man. I gave up on them, man. You know, they're still my favorite team because I'm from Detroit. But, man, listen, I just found out because I was in a meeting. You know, I was in a meeting with, I don't know if you know, Bizarre. You know, Bizarre, he's from D12. He was in a famous group called D12. Eminem is actually, you know, the founder of D12.
Yeah.
He's in a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, managed by, you know, Eminem. So, you know, we're going to do a reality show, you know, about him losing weight and everything. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. But and so he was watching the game, and I was like, hold on. I saw Lions playing. They was doing pretty good. I didn't know we had a Peterson on our team as a running back.
Yeah. You got Peterson. you actually got some good wide receivers if you can just keep Stafford up and throwing the ball, as you saw yesterday. As I said, the Lions had lost 11 in a row, but you still need to fire that coach, whether you won or not.
All right.
He's a Belichick disciple, but he's not Belichick, that's another subject altogether, but congratulations to Detroit Lions and to the fans.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So why
Detroit,
don't,
you won the Super Bowl, bro. Huh?
Yeah, they sell tickets to everybody. Y'all can go. It's in Florida, too.
Oh, my goodness, boy. Well, yeah. What if they hired you as a coach? Will we win then?
I tell you what, you win more games than you would now, because I would know the right people to surround myself with, That's the thing.
We definitely got the worst franchise in all sports. I mean, out of Detroit is the Lions. Definitely, we need the Fords, who are the owner of the the Fords are the owners of the actual Ford car that's around the whole world. So we got some big people out of Detroit. Like Little Caesars is owned by Mike Ilitch and the Ilitch family. And Little Caesars are all around the world, all around, the countries and all that. Same thing with the Ford cars are owned by Ford, but they good at selling cars. I think they need to sell the Detroit Lions and to someone that's known for winning. Because, man, if I could just see the Lions go to the playoff or go to the Super Bowl, they ain't got to win it. Just go to it. Man, that'd make my day like never before.
Well, the Buffalo knows how to do that. They had a long run just going and always losing. But why don't you K-9's corner and let's see what happens from here.
Oh yeah, for sure at K-9's corner. I just want to talk about, man. Age ain't nothing but a number. Aaliyah. May she rest in peace. She had a song called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. And I feel like as long as you take care of yourself, and no matter how old you are, ain't nothing you can't do. So me at the age of 47, let me rewind that. Me at the age of 47, I'm about to climb back in the ring and take care of my business. And I actually believe that I can actually get out there and compete with these young boys and win another world title. Will it happen? We'll find out. I want to see how my body holds up and how I do in my next couple of fights. But Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson, that's going to be a great fight for as long as it lasts. I hope Roy Jones don't get knocked out and seriously hurt bad, but they are competing at the age of 50-something. Mike Tyson looked as good as he looked when he was actually 18, when he first started boxing. He looked good. I mean, everybody see him do that pad work, and they like, man, you see Mike Tyson? He is the talk of the town. The talk of the town is Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. I'm talking about they in their 50s. Manny Pacquiao is the oldest welterweight champion of all time. And I just did a video called Fast and Furious. I will be posting real soon on my YouTube channel, K9 Boxing. But Manny Pacquiao, at 41 years old, haven't missed a beat. So age ain't nothing but a number. Like Aaliyah said, like I say, may she rest in peace. And yes, of course, Cornelius K9 Bundrich, I'm the oldest junior middleweight world champion of all time. Let me repeat that. The oldest junior middleweight champion of all time. So age ain't nothing but a number. George Foreman, at the age of 45, defeated a young Michael Moore in his 20s. That's right. Age ain't nothing but a number. He retired and came back after, I believe, it was 10 years or longer. He came back and knocked out Michael Moore. Age ain't nothing but a number. So, don't let age stop you from being all you can be. I mean, even in the Bible, we could go far, even to the Bible, that even, I think, her name was Sarah at 55 years old. She had a baby. So all things are possible with God. Ain't nothing you can't do.
Look at you. Now, how old are you, JK?
73
years old. At the age of 73 years old, you are running a podcast, not just one podcast. You got more. How many shows you got per week?
About five.
Five, along with a Facebook, probably along with a Instagram and a Twitter. That's right. So age ain't nothing but a number, for sure. And you proving that yourself. So I just want to encourage anyone that's tired, anyone that's sleepy, anyone that's that feel like, you know, getting old, and man, age ain't nothing but a number. It's all in how you feel and all in how you take care of yourself. You can do all things with the help of God. Even if you don't know God, God is still helping you, and all things are possible because age ain't nothing but a number. At K9 Boxing and JK, man, you can find me anytime as long as it's breath in my body at K9 Boxing on social media, which is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my YouTube channel is banging, K9 Boxing. I've been going live lately, so, you know, you got to tap in, JK. And when can they find you at, JK? Hey, when you ain't on the Dog Pound or the Weekend's Rap or on your other three platforms. And speaking of your other three platforms, where are they?
Well, they're all on Facebook and they're all right here on Blog Talk Radio. I have the Sports Crib where we talk, of course, sports, NFL, NBA, college sports, that's our Thursday program. As you mentioned, the Weekend Wrap Sunday. We're here on Tuesday on the Dog Pound. And Monday, I actually spend a lot of time talking about number 45. That's my political broadcast. It gets a little heated sometimes. I do invite conservatives and some other people on sometimes just to make it interesting and keep my blood pressure up. You know, every once in a while, you have to have that adrenaline running. So, you know, it's all part of, you know, like my daily exercise, basically. So, yeah, you can find all my shows on Facebook or Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we also put up K9 videos from YouTube, which, by the way, as you say, K9 is just exploding everywhere. Every time I look on the subscription, it seems like it's getting more and more. So you keep up the good work, and you're doing a lot of good work. A lot of people are showing up and taking some of your pointers. So
Thank you, thank you. Shout out to Ruth too, though. Shout out to Ruth, man. He wasn't able to come on the show tonight. Maybe he'll come on next week. But shout out to Ruth, man. Yo, dog. He out there where you at now? He done left Detroit to come out there with JK.
I was going to get Blair Cobb on. If you remember, Blair Cobb is the young man that put everything in his car and moved out to Vegas. He's now with a good friend out there, Bones Adams. Blair is watching the presidential debates, and I told him that we wouldn't interrupt that. Instead, we'll invite him on this week. So look forward to talking to the young man, talking about what's going on in Bones Adams' gym, and when he's getting ready to get back in the ring himself. So want to kind of thank everybody for listening. K9, any other shout-outs you want to give real quick before we go?
Yeah, I want to shout out my wonderful wife, man, who's holding it down and helped me with everything I'm doing. And I want to shout out little K9, Noah, and little Arian, and little Omne, and all the listeners. I want to shout out all the listeners, too, all the listeners that's been listening. Yeah, listening. Listen, thank you people for listening. We are the mission, cause the Lions won, like the Pistons. Dogs are us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dogs are us. The dog pound. They not from the Motown. Quick to throw down. Yeah, you know somebody about to go down. November. Something you gonna remember. I'ma knock her down. It's gonna be like I said, September. Yeah.